Dynasty Dads After Dark, Episode 3. Welcome back, Eli. Good to have you back in Nashville here. We definitely did not just finish recording Episode 2. It's nice to see you, buddy.
I love Nashville. Happy to be here. It's been great spending time with you and the kids. Jonathan, congratulations. I'm two kids now, double dad. And actually, a little announcement myself. Wasn't really thinking I'd do this, but why not? I've got another baby on the way, too.
Congratulations, brother.
I will be the double dad as well. So, yep, double dads after dark. We might have to throw another D in there.
Never enough double Ds. Well, yeah, congratulations. We're super excited for you. We're hoping that this weekend of being around family with two young kids doesn't completely freak you guys out.
Yeah, but man, so enough about our lame kids. Let's get back to some fantasy football.
Yeah, let's talk about those lame kids later. We can't be dynasty dads without talking about a little bit of a dad life and personality. We got enough dads in this league that might appreciate it. But until I have a dad responsibility here of watching my kid on the baby monitor, he's going to wake up saying, I'm lonely. I need my daddy. thought we might talk about some more broader league things and themes for the upcoming year. We'll talk potential rule changes, punishment ideas that have been thrown out, improvements to the second chance draft that we hinted at last time we chatted. As well as maybe look forward to where we think the overall power rankings are, maybe look at how teams are particularly strong in different positions, positional rankings, etc. Let's see where the conversation takes us. But why don't we start with rule changes? I'm happy to just pull up like what we have in our Discord channel for that. But are there any things for you, Eli, that are like top of mind based on last year or other things that you've heard? Where you're just like, man, I'd love to incorporate that or change and tweak that as a part of our league?
Yeah, nothing super specific. I know, obviously, with the way our league ended, we'll have to have something in writing after that, but that's something, right. Again, that was unprecedented. It was something that you could not have seen coming. No one expected to have any rules like this in place, but that's definitely something I think we could talk about as a league. How do we handle games that aren't completed and that the league decides not to restart, because that is I don't see that happening very often, but now that it's happened, we got to have a rule for it, right? That's how the world works.
Yep, make my life a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's really the only bleeding thing, I suppose.
All right, cool. Well, I'm gonna read these off, not necessarily because I endorse all of them, but because this is what has been sent to me, and then I guess I may be the only one who can actually post in this rule change channel. So I've kind of forwarded along anything that's come to me privately or maybe publicly. Honestly, there's not a lot in here. I mean, we did make some pretty significant changes last year, which was year two over year one. We increased the regular season a week. We eliminated no man's land and had 8 teams in the toilet bowl. We changed how the toilet bowl worked. We changed the reward from being 115 to 215. We previously like forced the rookie draft to be split into a couple of like different month periods. That's no longer a thing. We had an extra long free agent draft that's now like more limited to one round to like kind of force premium value there and make FAB a little bit more valuable. So we changed a lot about, I don't know if we got it wrong the first time, but certainly just iterated a lot last year. And I don't know if we have quite as many changes this year, but looking through the channel, I've got 2 suggestions that came at, it looks like 9 days apart, but there's a suggestion here from Ben that flat out says eliminate the trade deadline, and a following suggestion, I'm not sure who it came from, but it says eliminate the trade deadline for non-playoff teams to trade with one another. I don't really see a world where we eliminate the trade deadline for just part of the league. I think if we do eliminate the trade deadline, it's for everybody. The whole point of having a trade deadline at all, in theory, is to prevent collusion from impacting championships. And so like a team that has nothing to play for, particularly a team that has nothing to play for, helping out and loading up a team who could win. Now, we're not playing with strangers. We're playing, and maybe some people are, don't have rich histories with one another, but I know everybody in this league now fairly well, and I think we've established that there's a good precedent for, you know, wanting to do the right thing, and we've not had to veto, you know, any trades, and like I'm not real concerned about that. The reality is we are investing, you know, some money into this, and eventually as our pot grows, you know, it'll be a little bit more high stakes year by year. But I'm not saying we are deciding on anything right now, but I'm very open to the idea of eliminating the trade deadline, because there were definitely teams like, for some reason, Josh is sticking out of my mind, where like Kyler got injured, and I don't know why, maybe I'm just thinking about this wrong, but it felt like there was like this perfect window for him to trade, but it wasn't like he was a playoff team needing to buy. Maybe another playoff team lost to QB. They're just, oh, well, maybe it was Ben and Tua. They're clearly just opportunities where teams need to trade, and there's always value. And to me, it feels like if we're not overly concerned about collusion or the league's ability to handle those situations should they come up, that trade deadlines maybe aren't necessary. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I hear you. There's something about getting to the playoffs and having your team, I think, for me. Like, that's your squad. Like, I don't want to see teams in the playoffs changing their roster all of a sudden. Like, you should have prepared for this. Like, that's how the whole year I'm thinking about playoffs, literally from week one. Like, I'm already starting to think, like, is there a trade I can make now that will help me in the playoffs? Okay. Like, I think that's a huge strategic move. So to be able to push that back or not think about that at all, knowing, well, I can just make a trade in the playoffs if a quarterback goes down. No, I think that's part of the strategy, and having a little bit of depth on your roster is what makes fantasy football difficult, because we all know who the studs are. And if you can load up your team with studs and then trade it to a non-contender because they got hurt all of a sudden, and you can, you know, just fuel right back up, I don't like that as much. So I hear what you're saying, but there's something about when you're in the playoffs, like, at least by, you know, yeah, playoff start, like, that's your team. Like, no trading. That's my thought.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It kind of a bit of an argument of just, like, it's how we've always done it, and, you know, sure, it's just, like, the way I like it. But I think, you know, if you're a team that has, like, done everything right, stocked up, but then, like, your star player gets hurt and you're willing to trade him at a loss of, like, value, would he have been healthy for somebody that can help you? Like, I've pushed all my chips and I'm trying to make a move here. I think it's mostly, like, injury related, because, again, most teams are going to be positioning themselves to try to get as strong a seeding and make the playoffs to begin with, that they're not going to wait until week 15 or 16 to make the one move that should put them over. But it's interesting to think about, both from an injury standpoint and maybe even potentially, like, a matchup standpoint. If you make to the championship and you're facing an elite quarterback and you're like, I'm going to trade my guy for that quarterback's top receiving weapon, even though that person's not as good as the guy I'm giving away, because it's going to give me a better shot at winning. Like, that kind of strategy is very interesting, and I think it's worth considering having it be on the table. But anyway, we've had a few people.
Yeah, I'd like to hear other people's thoughts on that, honestly, because that is a good point. That's a big change. It's a big change, but it's not necessarily a negative change. So I'd like to hear other people's thoughts on that.
And as an off-season change, it, like, has no bearing on, oh, well, I built my team this, like, it's not a roster construction type change. So there are some things that, you know, I changed last year and, like, potentially will change this year, that I'll just, you know, do unilaterally, and I'm going to say it's, like, the best thing for the league. There are things like this where I think it makes sense to, you know, have a league vote, or at least, you know, hear what the broader group of governors has to say. But it definitely is something that's been mentioned and is worth considering. So, good chatter on that. The other things on this list here, from DFT, he says reconsider having 115 be the supplemental pick for non-tanking toilet bowl winner. I don't know why Dan said that in December, because he was clear. Oh, actually, you know what? This is going back to 21. So,
but I actually liked that take, and actually, it was after you asked me that question if I had anything in mind. As soon as you started going, I was like, oh, that probably would have been what I would have said.
Really?
Yeah. So not necessarily back to 115.
Yeah.
Because I agree, that's kind of the tough part. But there's no reason. We can't put it in the middle, right? Like, why not put it at 2.8?
Yeah, there's no reason.
You know, there's no reason we couldn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is honestly, this was my thought before I just got this pick. So, if anybody's losing on this deal, if we made the change, it would be me.
Because you just won 215.
Yeah, yeah, just won 215. And obviously, it's not going to change now.
Right.
So, yeah, again, before winning it, I liked it more at 115, I think, than I do at 215. Just because I don't really care about a third round pick, to be honest. Like, but I think, again, so yeah, maybe, so I'm okay with that suggestion and maybe, but yeah, again, bringing it to the middle of second round. There's no reason we couldn't. You're not, it's not changing. It's, you know, it's just if you were a bottom team, like, you don't get hurt as much. And if you're a top team, obviously now all these draft picks are traded, so it's not the top and the bottom teams owning them. But right, in theory, you know, the bottom teams are still getting their second round pick right where it should be, but the top teams are the only ones getting affected by one pick.
One pick, yeah.
And then it makes it a little more valuable. So that's, I guess, so to feed off Dan, yeah, 2.8 instead of 1.15.
That's interesting. I mean, you're spot on about it being arbitrary where we drop it in. At some point, wherever you put it in, everybody that follows is, you know, mm-hmm, one pick behind, regardless of where that happens. Yeah, I think it's worth considering. I did feel like 115 was a bit heavy, particularly because we didn't have a rule for year one where we prohibited tanking teams from being eligible. So Chris, who had
Perfect Storm,
a stronger team than like mine that tanked this year with what I felt like was a strong roster, like being able to also load up with a, you know, an extra late first or early second kind of round pick, felt like a lot. And so maybe over correction to say 215. But anyways, yeah, that's worth considering. I don't know if it like changes the way that the toilet bowl would be approached and or like competed. Like, I still wanted to put my best lineup out there no matter what, mostly for pride. But, you know, as a tanker too, is like the one time of the year I could like start my best lineup. But
it is fun to try to get that pick and then to have that pick actually
totally
mean, because that's the thing. It's like, I got it and I'm like, okay, cool. But it's, I mean, we looked at who was picked there last year. It was like Zamir White or something. You know, yeah, it's like, it probably really doesn't matter. So let's make it.
Zamir White is going to be the Raiders RB1 when they let Josh Jacobs
there you
walk,
go.
So
well, there we'll you see. Go. So I should be excited.
Yeah, I'm actually, so I was thinking, I was looking at this year's suggestions. I'm looking at the most recent suggestions, which are all from December of 21, which is now, you know, 15 months ago. So we have nothing in this channel from last year. One thing that I know was discussed that isn't in our channel. So, by the way, the only other thing in the channel here was a suggestion from Matt, who said, don't punish the toilet bowl loser. I think he was staring down the barrel of a toilet bowl loss. And he ended up losing. This was now maybe going into that last toilet bowl, but he did lose this toilet bowl. So I'm pretty sure Matt's due to be punished alongside Peter. We all thought it would be Mark, but Mark somehow won because KJ Osborne had the game of his life and Tony Pollard. But anyways, so Matt, you were a year ahead of yourself for really trying to save yourself, and it just it didn't happen. But I think it's interesting. Like, it's worth considering. I know that feels tough to be like a team who potentially, you know, just got ravaged by injury at the end of the year, and now all of a sudden, like, okay, I wasn't, you know, a terrible team. And honestly, we're probably always going to have somebody that is intentionally tanking if they own their pick, whether they do it all year long or at least at the end of the year to try to get their pick. But that part of the draft order is locked up before the toilet bowl starts. So those tanking teams, particularly if they have any startable players, can potentially, you know, not be the worst team. So it's...
So the bad teams really are losing in the toilet bowl, then,
right,
is what that means.
Right. So, yeah, it's fun because it you really don't want to lose the toilet bowl. Like, as good as I felt about my team, I definitely was still nervous, and I won my first toilet bowl matchup. But, like, I very strongly considered trading Daniel Jones late in the year to a competitor, and I would have had no quarterbacks to start. And that was one of the main reasons I held on to him, is because I was like, I don't want to go eat waffles.
Yeah.
I don't want to be punished. And so I think whether that's like good for strategy, like, you know, it's more just like a fun kind of wrinkle to the league. It's not necessarily like an improvement to like your dynasty strategy, but it's yeah, it's for definitely sure. something that I considered as a team who I knew was, you know, going to be having to compete in the toilet bowl.
Sounds good. Ben, I want to know how many waffles you've eaten since that day. If you've eaten any, or if you've eaten anywhere close to
pancakes, so I don't know if pancakes for him. But
I want to know how many you've eaten since that day. I bet he knows exactly. How
over
many
or under 24, because that's how many he ate that time at Denny's.
Did he eat 20? No, he didn't eat 24.
He ate the 24 calorie equivalent of.
No, what's his team name? Yeah, it's 24.
29-24, and he definitely didn't get a 24 on his ACT. He got a 29. So. Because he's a nerd. It must have been 24 pancakes, because there's no way it was 24 waffle equivalent, because he didn't get out in an hour.
Right.
You know? So, or however long it takes to eat 24 waffles. He ate a lot of pancakes. So, Ben, interested to know if you're eating pancakes. Maybe you're listening to this in Tulum right now, and you're drooling over some flapjacks. So, you'll have to report back on that. The other thing that's not written down in our channel, but something that was proposed, maybe it was in one of those podcasts actually leading up to the championship or post fallout from the championship, was the introduction of a seventh playoff team to mirror what the NFL does, where only one team gets a bye week, and then the seeds 2 through 6 play each other. Three winners progress, the lowest seed plays the team that got the bye, and again, now you have a standard 4-team semis into a, you know, final week. I like it a lot. I'm not like, oh, give more teams a shot at the playoffs, just because, like, I'm not like excited about it just because that means 7 out of our 14 teams get into the playoffs. But seeing your team, just recency bias, you were number 7 and just on the outside looking in, and you would have, I think, made a really, you know, big run, depending on who you played in the playoffs.
Beat Jeremy in the regular season.
So you would have definitely beat him again.
Yeah.
Everybody would have beat him.
That week, yeah.
That week. But I like the idea that the bye week is such a game changer in the playoffs.
Give it to just the
so
top spot.
So if you just give it to the top spot, like, this year, that would have been that much more meaningful that Krause got the first overall seed and that Jeremy would have to win 3 to go back-to-back. And so, if you're truly the best team, and, I mean, Jeremy was the best team. He didn't have the best record, even though he had the most points forced. But, like, that's the randomness of Dynasty and fantasy football. But I love the idea that you more than likely have to win 3 in a row in the playoffs to win. And that's so hard to do, even if you are the best team.
Mm-hmm.
I like that wrinkle. And the only way we get to one team having a bye is either, you know, contracting or growing the playoff pool. And I think that it's a pretty natural thing. And I can stomach a little bit more because it's 7 teams in a 14-team league. It's not like we're a 10-team league or even a 12. It's like, most of the teams make it to the playoffs.
It's a big
You still league, have yeah. to be top half. And and I'd have to think about, you know, probably similar implications in the toilet bowl, because again, we had 2 teams that had a bye, but like same rationale. So what do you think about that one?
Yeah, so coming from the guy who was 2 years in a row just didn't make it, honestly, and it's not because it's not both times I didn't make it. It's like, well, that's just how the cookie crumbles. I wouldn't have won it either year. I would have been close this year, but you know, what does close matter? So, I like it too, and that's, you know, yeah, I like it. Just like you said, having it be just the top dog with that advantage, I think that's the way to go. And it would have been, it makes things a little more exciting. It makes the race for the top a little more exciting. I think that is a good one to push for. And then, yeah, like you said, that top spot, like, I think it's still best that we do it exactly how we have it with your scoring or your wins and losses or victory points rather.
Yeah.
But it could also be talked about of like, do we change that first spot to the highest scoring team in the league? That's not what I'm voting for. I like it exactly how it is, but it's something, if the top spot is that much more important now that that's the only one getting a bye week, it's something to consider to make sure that, that victory points is exactly what we want for the top spot. I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's probably much a debate about that. I really like our victory point system. That's when I talk to fantasy, you know, other fantasy football leagues about, yeah, you know, their leagues, and if they're interested in dynasty leagues, I always tell them, you got to learn this victory point system, because it is, that's, it's, it, it makes, it makes the league.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Sleeper to add some customization to their app for this. Sleeper continues to add a ton of stuff. They're really good, but they have an out of the box victory point setting, but the only way that it scores is 1 point for a head to head win and 1 point for like beating the league median, and we do 2 for head to head and 1. So like they don't have the ability to customize it, which means we still have to have our Sultan of Stats do it in a spreadsheet. So I'd love for like the app to be able to just always be the source of truth for like what the league standings are, and sometimes it's a bit different, but I mean, small complaints. I totally, yeah, agree that the victory points is a great way to do it. I mean, I guess it could be on the table that we would like entertain, you know, a 1-to-1 versus a 2-to-1, but I hear what you're saying. Like, if we're making changes to the playoff format, we should, you know, make sure that we're thinking, you know, all aligned, that like the one seed is structured in the way that rewards the best team. But
yeah,
I think if we play all season to have our standings sorted by that victory points format, that that continue to be the way that the top teams are sorted. So
yeah, because yeah, otherwise it would be exceptions for the last playoff team and the top playoff team, which I like it for the last one. I'm not saying I do like it for the first one. I think it should be victory points.
Yeah for sure.
That's my opinion.
Okay, so I think that's it for rule changes. We'd love to hear from the league. DM your suggestions directly to me, and I can post them. So we've got a catalog of those in our rule change channel. I'd love to make, or at least propose, as many of these changes, certainly before the season, but probably just before the season. I can't imagine we'll make any scoring or roster type changes that would impact how we think about the draft. Certainly without a minimum of a 1 year kind of lead time for teams to kind of prepare for that. So anyways, would love to have some active conversations with the whole league on some of those things. Anything that you've heard to make the league, you know, more interactive, incentivized trading. I know there's been lots of conversation around, you know, bring back, you know, FABs value, and I think that it's kind of,
that's an interesting thought. Start with less money.
It's tough when you have deep rosters, and I don't think that we're going to.
Hey, you just keep $0 bids, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's, and we have $0 bids.
Right, saying, so keep that. But I mean, if you lower the, because then it doesn't matter. I mean, as far as having deep rosters, like you got to manage your budget the same. And I don't know, does having less money really make a big difference? Because it just means you're putting less money in on players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all a ratio, so.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I heard some folks talking about, you know, the potential of allowing teams to roll over their FAB, but they've said like in the leagues they've commissioned, all they find out is that the best teams end up, you know, not using their FAB because they have studs already. And so they roll it over year over year, and then when there's a true difference maker, nobody else can touch them because the rich just get richer. And so I don't think that that's like something worth considering. Yeah. So I know we all mourn the slow death of WM FAAR and always enjoy Matt's commentary, but I don't think that we want to change our league dramatically enough to
one or two just to have an active really well written article a year is worth it, man. I love those. Yeah.
So okay, well that's all I have written for rule changes. I know one of the other things that we briefly talked about last time we chatted was the second chance draft, and you had mentioned that there was maybe a twist or some sort of way that we could incentivize somebody to finally, or more than one somebody, to throw their hat into that ring. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's more a question than a statement, I suppose.
Okay.
The question is the question is, do we want to incentivize that, right, as a league? Like, is that something that we want to see teams do? And if so, how can we make it a little more appealing?
Uh-huh.
You know, when the NFL adds an expansion team, What did they do? I know when the Texans came into the league, did they get like the first two picks in the draft? So I'm not suggesting that, obviously, but I mean, I know they gave them... I
think they got the 101.
They
drafted Mario Williams.
Okay, and I thought maybe they even had another first round pick.
Maybe, because they had Derek Carr too, maybe, right? Like, I think,
Derek Carr, I think, was...
David Carr. They built around... So they took
their offensive lineman and their quarterback, right? Okay. So, anyway, I mean, that's a pretty high price, and obviously a big deal for the first, for the last place team in the league, but, so I'm not suggesting we do that, of course, that's too much of a price, but, you know, whether is it extra fab, because this hasn't happened yet and it's mm-hmm. so rare that if it does, do they get a pick right after the toilet bowl pick? So yeah, if it is 2.8, yeah. is it 2.9 and 10 as well? And then it's just three picks that, you know, so whatever, it's something to question. So one, do we want to incentivize it? And if we do, it seems like the draft is the only way, because you could give more fab, but again, that's not really a big price either. Nobody's drooling over fab.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to my personal non-commissioner take, my governor take on do we want it for the league is, yeah, definitely. I think it's fun, even as a bystander, a non-participant in the second chance draft.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. And for every guy that you maybe have like wanted a piece of that you just... can't align on the value with, you know, the owner who currently has him. If he now changes hands and somebody's less tied to it, now you have somebody else that you might be able to go get your guy from. Or maybe it's a guy who, you know, frankly is just, you know, not as active in trading, or just super, you know, again, attached to those guys, and now they trade hands, and now all of a sudden you've got different movement of players throughout the league. Or maybe, yeah, again, as we hinted at the last conversation, like, maybe you go from being a competitive win now to like rebuild, and you're like, okay, but I'm less attached to this one kind of vet player. It makes more sense to move. So I think it incentivizes like activity, which is one of the, you know, the biggest highlights of this league,
sure.
I think is the volume of transactions. So I'd definitely be in favor of it from a league standpoint.
So remind me, how secretive is it as far as when an owner enters this pool?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows about it? Because I think it would make a difference if other teams knew who was in it. And
yeah.
I think, as I understand it, they wouldn't know. And maybe it would be best if, you know, only, I don't know if it's only the commissioner knows, and then the people like, hey, I'm in it, but not, you know, you got your foot like half in the puddle, right? Like,
yeah.
like I'm in it, but I want to see who the other teams are,
mm-hmm.
and then they can decide.
Sure.
So remind me again,
yeah,
how does that work?
Right, good question. Right now, the way it's set up is only I know, and I'm only in this position if there's no world in which I'd throw my hat into the ring to, so I don't have an advantage. And if I were to consider it, I'd ask, you know, a third party, like a champion or something like that, who wouldn't consider doing it. But I give everybody a week between the end of the season and before, like, we kind of, I think, maybe after roster cuts. Anyway, about a week after the season, and everybody's got a chance to opt in if they'd like, by sending me a message. And I don't disclose that to anybody. I may say that we have one person who's, you know, said they want to do it, or that we have multiple people who have already entered to like drum up some interest without kind of doxing who that person is. It's interesting. Now, there's nothing that would keep somebody from kind of self-identifying as having...
Sure.
opted in.
Sure.
And I don't think that we'll see that again unless you feel like you're the worst team, because you don't want to attract somebody with
exactly.
lower value. So I think people aren't going to broadcast that. And if you're the worst team, like, again, if you broadcast it, you're probably just going to scare people away.
Right.
So I don't know if it'll ever not be secretive. And again, like, after you've opted in, like, sure, I could tell you, like, in a group DM, like, hey, you guys are about to, you know, we're gonna tell the whole league,
right,
like,
but you're in it now,
it doesn't matter, like, you're right. in at that point. So I don't imagine that part would change, but yeah, I certainly would be up for you know, different suggestions from the league. I mean, you've made some good ones around whether it's picks or fab some combination or something different.
Yeah, and if there's any other ideas, I'd like to hear them. I just don't, I can't think of anything other than that. That could be a real incentive that doesn't impact the league too drastically.
But I just had like a wild thought, like, what if you basically had like a handicap, like if you participated in the second chance draft, like that following season, you had like a 3-point handicap on your, but like that now impacts everybody else negatively, so I don't like that.
But it's
outside of the box, like there's maybe something, some way that we could incentivize it a little bit better, because at the end of the day, I just love to see that level of activity, and it would be it'd be a really fun component of the league that we've yet to see now. So, anyways, okay. Cool. Well, again, open DMs for anybody in the league to come up with a way that we can make that enticing. It'd be really interesting to see a team that's maybe like a playoff team, but knows they don't have quite enough to get over the hump and they're old.
Yeah, come to a conclusion, it's not necessarily too late, right? Why not? If we could get it done before the draft, just to, you know.
Yeah, I suppose not. I mean, it's not what the rules say, but like, I don't have a hard and fast reason to say like, oh, we can't, you know, do it now. Like,
if the league votes, that'd be a league vote thing, I think, especially because we already did say it's already breaking. It's basically breaking a rule if we did that. So
yeah.
So a league vote, if we had a good idea, it'd be interesting to see. Because I think there's, you know, not there's no secret. Josh and Mark are, they look like they're going to struggle. Those are the only two. I don't know. I want to throw anybody else's names out there without really looking at their roster. So, but those two, I'm pretty confident. Could benefit from a few teams jumping in like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Josh.
Oh, sorry. And the other idea that I'd thrown around with somebody at some point, I don't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but it would be weighted in some way, you know, but I don't know how we do that. But I just said, Josh and Mark are clearly on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
How do we incentivize anybody to jump into a draft with them? It would have to be give them some sort of advantage.
Yeah. I think there's probably some answer that we've not stumbled across quite yet, but I don't have a solution for that yet, but I'm certainly open to whatever we could do to better incentivize it. So it looks like my daddy duties might be calling, so I might have to go help a 4-year-old.
30 minutes, it's not
fall
like
back
us
to sleep. Yeah, I know. Sorry. It's not a 3-hour diatribe, but hey, we've got one more after dark.
I might be able to fly back.
Yeah, so we'll see if maybe we could still tackle one or a couple more topics here for a little bit more extra after hours Dynasty Dads. But anyways, Eli, it's always good to chat, and whether you're in person or we try to do this virtual, I'd love to continue to hop on the mic here and talk fantasy, because that's what we love to do.
Yes, sir. Love you guys. Love you, Fail.
All right. Later, everybody.